It's called Holy, Holy, Holy. And I think it'll come back to you. Most likely. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. He is worthy to receive glory. Worthy to receive honor.
Arrogance overwhelm all. Discouragement overwhelm all. Darkness with your everlasting light. Darkness doesn't stand a chance when you turn on the light. Hey. Darkness doesn't stand a chance when you turn on the light. So we rise and shine, for our light has come. We rise and shine, for our light has come. We arise and shine, for our light has come. Arise and shine, for our light has come. We arise and shine, for our light has come. Arise and shine, for our light has come. We arise and shine, for our light has come. Arise and shine, for our light has come. Hey. We lift you up higher. Lift you up higher. We lift you up higher. We lift you up higher. Just tell them we lift you up higher. 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 We lift you up higher.
This week, I was feeling rather overwhelmed by demands and lack of resources. And in my coming to the Father, I heard two things. He said to me, "Those who are with you are more than those who are against you," which speaks of Elijah and his servant. When Elijah asked the Lord to open his servant's eyes, and so then the servant could see that the invisible support was much greater than the visible resistance. So I believe the Lord wants to, one, remind us and reassure us and encourage us that the invisible support we have is far greater than the visible resistance in front of us. Anyone ready to take that? Sure. The second thing that he told me was, my timing is perfect. My timing wants to see provision before I step out. And sometimes he says, step out before you see the provision. But the reason we can do that with confidence is because we know that his timing is perfect. He is not a father who says, oh, you asked for a fish, I'm going to give you a stone. Oh, I called you outside of the boat to walk in the waves. Oh well. Have a nice swim. We serve a father who, when he calls us to step out on something that we can't walk on, says, if you keep your eyes on me, you're golden. Good to see you, Nick. Good morning. There is a joy that comes from walking in a confidence that the Father, who has been involved in our lives, who has taken us through thick and thin in the past, is still the same Father, still the same Savior, still the same Spirit, and he is going to prove to us his faithfulness again. So I believe as we sing this next song, he is going to be revealing to us his faithfulness in a way that will just cause discouragement and fear to just roll off our backs and cause us to stand in a greater assurance and authority of who we are as sons and daughters. Let's sing Do It Again. Walking around these walls. Walking around these walls. Whoa, am I in the wrong key? It's been a while since I sung this one. Thank you. There we go. Sorry. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Though the night won't last, your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. Declare. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Never failed. No matter how many times I've failed, you've never failed. No matter how many times I've stumbled, you've never let me go. This is my confidence. You've never left my side. This won't last. I know the night won't last. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Oh, we have sown in tears. Oh, we will reap in joy. We break covenant with the compromise. Hey, I declare this night may be long, but your joy comes. Your joy comes. Your joy comes in the morning.
I believe the Lord is wanting us to take the things that are in the forefront of our minds, the things that we're struggling with, the things that hit you all week long, and put them before him and make declarations. You've seen him move before, and he'll move in that. He can move that mountain, that whatever it is in your life, in Larry's life, in Elizabeth's life, in my life. Take that thing that you've been struggling this week, the thing that's the mountain that you see, put it there and make declarations. You have moved mountains, and you'll do it again. And you have never failed. Don't say yet, because that says you have doubt. I don't mean to trash your song, but do you understand what I'm saying? He's calling you to be strong in your statement. God, I'm struggling with this. And you've moved mountains, and you're going to move that. Because you're my God, and you take care of the problems in front of me. And you have never failed.
never failed, and you won't fail us this time around. You've never failed. You've never failed. You've never failed. Won't fail us this time around. You never fail. Oh, you unravel me with your melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. So I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name.
I've been born
again to your family.
Your blood flows
through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God, oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child.
You unravel
me with a melody, surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Sing that again. Your blood flows.
Your blood flows through my veins.
Keep on singing that now. Your blood flows.
Your blood flows through my veins. Your blood flows through my veins. Identity. Your blood flows through my veins. I have a new name. Your blood flows through my veins. I have power in the blood. Your blood flows through my veins. I am yours. Your blood flows through my veins.
Singing this, the word I heard was reasonable fears, and that sometimes there are concerns, worries that we call reasonable. We should have them. And what God was saying is that they are only reasonable because we are operating under a mindset of fear, and that when we have our identity centered as children of God, there is no such thing as a reasonable fear, a reasonable worry, a reasonable concern. And that the example that came to mind was that in our house, our children are not allowed or encouraged to ask for first servings of food. That every child at our table gets food. Like, it's not something you need to ask for. It's something that's going to happen for you. So there's no need to be like, where's my food? Where's my food? Come and feed me, feed me, feed me. It's like, no, no, everybody's getting food. That's what you're getting. So that sometimes we call it reasonable. It's not a big deal that a kid says, where's my food? But it's a problem because the mindset says, I might not have enough. And it's like, no, you're at our table. You have more than enough. We're going to give you tons. And that is how we approach God, that there is no such thing as a reasonable fear. We need to come and be confident that we're going to be fed.
So, where did you get that reasonable fear from? The deceiver gave you those ways of thinking when you were yet a natural being. He filled your mind with reasonable, concerns. I want you to please stay with me. A reasonable concern or deception which came from the enemy often takes root within us, and we don't have to go looking for it. It's just there. And because it's just there, obviously it's true. Only it isn't true. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you know, I just want, where did we get the reasonable fear from? A lack of understanding of what is true. There is a spiritual conflict engaged. There is a liar and there is a truth teller. And we have listened to both of them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We have. And some of it we heard so long ago that we don't even know where it came from, but it's there. It is a part of who we are or were or have been, but it no longer needs. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That lie which has just existed within us needs to be deleted. I'd like you to take your finger and put it up like this. And now push the delete button. We delete that in Jesus' name. We push the delete button in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we delete the lies in Jesus' name. We command the liar to cease his noise in Jesus' name. We push the delete button in Jesus' name. And then somebody told me this morning, I guess it was Jocelyn, said, now push the refresh button. I am a child of God. I am no longer a slave to fear. I push the refresh button and say, I am a child again. That's who I am. I declare the truth. And Lisa's picture is so apropos. Can you imagine any one of her children thinking, I'm going to get left out? There won't be enough food for me if I wait until last. I need to dive in before anybody else gets it. That's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that it's hardly worth saying. Even poor parents will make sure their kids get it before they get it for themselves. Even poor parents. How much more surely will our Father in heaven care for us? Far, far, far more surely. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. So, Lord, this morning we just cancel the lies of the enemy. We push the delete button. We say no more of that in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I pray that you would continually alert us to the places where lies have permeated our thoughts, our feelings, our concepts. We push the delete button. And whenever we see it again, Father, may we be those who are quick to push the delete button and declare, I am a child of God. All is well. He makes it so. So that's where we are this morning, and that is our declaration in Jesus' name.
We jumped in the car this morning, and, you know, things just turn on. And the song that was playing, I don't know the name of the song. I know the song vaguely. But the words that hit me is, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar.
And fear is a person. Just as surely as truth is a person, fear is an enemy, the enemy of our souls. Truth is a person, and he declares truth, peace to us. Reasonable expectation. What was your words? Reasonable fear. Nah, we cancel reasonable fear in Jesus' name. We embrace the reasonable expectation of a child of God. What can you expect from Father? Far better than you can even think. We embrace the reasonable expectation in Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
go of reasonable fear, and I pick up unreasonable joy. I let go of reasonable fear, and I pick up unreasonable joy. Beyond my understanding, beyond my reasoning, I pick up your joy. Beyond my reasoning, beyond my thinking, I pick up your joy. Joy comes. Joy comes from knowing who we are and who is our Father. Joy comes from hearing His song over us. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God chases me down fights till I'm found, leaves in 99, and I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It goes on and on and on. It goes on. Your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all. You have been so, so kind. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie, you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow, you won't light up, mountain, you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Oh, no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, limitless love of God. Wash over you right now. Always rescue me.
discerned your love woos me. Father, farther away from fear, your love woos me, draws me closer to your side. Your love drews me, draws me farther, farther, far away from fear. Oh, my beloved, come. Oh, my beloved, come. Father, step farther away from fear. My beloved, oh, my beloved, come up here. Come up here with me. You are my beloved. Come closer, come closer. Anxiety is far away from you. Come close, come closer. Yes, come, yes, come, yes, come closer. I have so many gifts that you have only dreamed of in your sleep. But now I call you to awake from your slumbering. Come, so many gifts waiting, call an end to the postponements. Now is the time to awake and come. Now is the time for a fresh awakening. Now is the time to rise and come. I have so much more for your region. Oh, arise bright, oh, arise bright. There is so much more, and now is the time. This is the place, this is the region that I will awaken. Immerse me in revival, awakening, and fire. Cry out, immerse me in revival, awakening, and fire. Cry out, immerse me in revival, awakening, and fire. Immerse me in revival, awakening, and fire. Immerse us in revival, in awakening, and fire.
Rachel got married, and I just saw when we were singing this, I just saw that she was standing at the head of the aisle, and Mike's at the other end of the aisle, and he, as soon as he saw her, he was just breathtaking. And but she didn't stand there and wait and just kind of take on what he was doing. The way he was looking at her, you could just tell his love. There was so much love for her. But she didn't stand back there and just stay there. She came down the aisle to join him. And it was a two-way relationship.
Your love. beloved, I come. My beloved, I come to you. My beloved, I come. My beloved, I come to you. My beloved, I come. My beloved, I come to you. My beloved, I come. My beloved, I come to you. Respond to your beckoning now. We respond to your call now. We respond to your beckoning now. We come to our beloved bridegroom. We come to you.
Thank you for your faithful love, O God. You are so faithful and you're so loving. We're drawn and we run to you. Thank you for drawing us faithfully. We come to you. We delight in you. We bless you. We bless you. Our unity with you is our singular focus, our singular desire. Bless you all. Thank you for being here today. It's good to have you. It's good to be together. We, as many of you know, we didn't manage to do an outside work yesterday, work day. It was a kind of rainy day. Mom just said if you'd like, you can come and help with mulch anytime you want to. There's mulch around and can mulch stuff. I suspect we're going to have a cleanup day scheduled again, although I don't know exactly when yet. We'll work on it. But appreciate all of you that were planning to come and help out. Many of you know Lisa. Lisa, will you come? Lisa's a forever friend of this Osborne family and a forever friend of Covenant Life and New Covenant before that, and Lisa's a pastor and a prophetess and a woman of God, a daughter, and she just came back just a little bit ago from a trip to Wales, and she's got some things to share with us, and just want to have you have your freedom. Thank you, Lisa.
I'm excited to be here. It's been quite a while because I also brought back from Wales a cold. So this trip was my fourth trip in 10 years. The first time I went to Wales, it was with my husband, and it was like the trip of a lifetime for us. And it was the last time that he was really well enough to travel. And he knew after that first time we went there, initially knowing no one, and we left with a group of covenant friends that time and space don't detour. And Ron knew that I left a part of my heart there and kept in touch with these people. And so when he went home with the Lord, he left a monetary provision for me to go back. And so I've gone three times on my own, not really on my own, but traveling, you know, is one person. And every time I go, the Lord does more and speaks more and opens up more opportunities. Last night, I shared something, and I'm going to do this very quickly. The relationship I have with Wales is so amazing. When I first got the desire to go, my husband really didn't want to go. And he made a deal with God that if he hooked us up with a pastor, he would go. He didn't tell anyone that. And then Al Houck, who I work with, he and his wife went to Tennessee, happened to meet a pastor from Scotland in Tennessee that gave him the name of a pastor in Wales that we eventually ended up hooking up with. Last October, I had been feeling just this ever-growing and increasing call to Wales. Last October, there were a group of intercessors traveling around the 13 original states, and they came to a variety of churches, and they came to Shepherd's Heart, and Al called me up to the front, and there was a woman from Georgia who had been to Wales, who had gotten a chair somehow from a chapel where some of the Welsh revival happened. And the Lord told her, bring this chair with you into every church because there's someone who has a call to Wales and that person's supposed to sit in the chair and be prayed over. So here's this woman from Georgia with a chair from Wales. They get to Shepherd's Heart. She had been asking pastor after pastor. And when she got to Shepherd's Heart, it was me. And I sat in the chair, and I'm like, God, I feel so humbled that you would speak to a woman from Georgia to bring a chair from Wales to speak and encourage me. It turns out the chair came from a chapel that my husband and I visited when we were there 10 years ago. Yeah. Can I drink this water up here?
Yeah.
So this trip, I went to Wales. I had a lot of ministry. I only had one day in 2 weeks that I wasn't ministering somewhere. But on one of the nights, a group from Bethel, California, from Redding, California, in Bethel, of students from their School of Supernatural Ministry came to the church where I was staying, and they practiced what they've been learning. So they led worship, and a couple of the students gave short messages. And then they had a prophetic team. Now, you may have remembered just about a year ago, I got up here and shared how I had reconnected with a daughter that I'd given up for adoption 50 years ago. So this prophetic team gets up, and one of the gals says, does the date February 4th mean anything to anyone? And I raised my hand, and she said, well, what does that date mean to you? And I said, well, it's my daughter's birthday, the daughter that I gave up for adoption. It was her birth date. And she said, oh, I didn't say that, though. I just said it's my daughter's birthday. And she said, well, what's your daughter's name? And before I could answer, a guy in the balcony texted her and said, ask her if the name Amy means anything. And as I was saying, my daughter's name is Amy, she got the text. And she started prophesying over Amy. And I've been holding those words before the Lord because I believe that what she spoke about my daughter that I've not yet met was from God. And then she stopped and said, I don't know what kind of a relationship you have with this daughter, but I'm telling you, in the near future, it's going to become much more intimate. And so I had to go to Wales this time to have a group from America prophesy over me about my daughter that no one knew about. God is so good to us. He is so good to us. People ask me, the people there, what I sensed in the country, and it's the same thing I've been sensing here. God is moving. We've been a stagnant pond for a while, and I'm so excited, and I have such an anticipation because I feel God is moving. There are some really wonderful things happening. There are some really horrible things happening, but there's movement once again. And I am so excited about that. And I saw it there, and I see it here. And if I wasn't asked, I was going to ask if I could share that. I came in today and had a real sense of expectation that God is about to move. And don't give up and be patient and keep pressing in, because he's on the move again, and he's beginning to do supernatural things. The things that your hearts have been crying out for years, my heart's been crying out for, God is moving again. And the water is stirring, so to speak, and I sense it so deeply in my spirit. I want to tell you one other story about Wales. All of it was pretty incredible. But 2 years ago, I had preached at a church in a little seacoast town called Crickieth. And at the end of the service, this church meets in a hotel, and there's a bar in the hotel. And after the service, a gal brought this guy up to me who'd been in the bar the whole church time. And I kind of got a little buzz talking to him because he was so intoxicated that I'm like, oh, let me just step back here a minute. But I got a real burden for him, and I prayed for him. And I've prayed for him for 2 years. Prayed that God would touch him, prayed that God would move in his life. And on the plane over this time, I said to God, his name was Patrick, is Patrick even still alive? So I was spending 4 days in Crickieth. The first night I was there, the pastor and his wife and I were talking around the table, and they got a phone call. And lo and behold, it was Patrick. And I had told them, I've been praying for this man for 2 years. And they handed me the phone and said, here's Patrick. So I chatted with him for a minute, and I said, I'm going to be around all weekend. I hope I get to see you. After we hung up, the pastor said he had been drinking 2 to 3 bottles of vodka every day. And they didn't know how he was still alive. This was a Thursday night. On Friday, the pastor and his wife run a little coffee shop, and I decided just to go down and sit in the afternoon while they were working and see what God would do with anyone that wandered in. And lo and behold, after about 20 minutes, there's Patrick. And the pastor ushered him right over to me. He said, this lady's been praying for you for 2 years. And he started to cry. And he said, I can't believe that anyone would, number one, remember me or care enough about me to pray for me. And I said, well, it was God that prompted my heart every time. And so we started to chat, and he said, I've been married a couple of times, and I've got kids, and I don't blame them for leaving me because look at me, I'm a mess, and I want desperately to change, and I don't know how to change. And then he started telling me that in his youth, he had been abused by an uncle. And he had gone to his mom to ask for help, and she didn't believe him. And he went back, and he went back, and he went back. And the mom would never believe him. And I started just to share with him how God believed him and how he knew exactly everything he'd been through and that it wasn't okay with God. That he'd seen it all, and that there was a place of deep healing in Jesus Christ. At which point, he grabbed his belly, screamed out in pain, and doubled over. And I'm like, this is a demonic manifestation. Shortly after that, he made his way to the bathroom and was sick all over. He was in there 20 or 25 minutes, and he came out crying and so apologetic and saying to the pastor, whose name is Alistair, I'm so, so sorry. I tried to clean it up. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know what came over me. And Alistair is 6'5", but he is a teddy bear. And he looked at him and he said, Patrick, you know what? I was going to mop that floor anyway. I might as well do it now. And spoke to this man with such love and such compassion and no judgment at all. And he left shortly after that. But on the Sunday, I was there preaching, and in comes Patrick, this time not smelling of alcohol at all. He said, I feel so much better. I don't know what's happened to me. And he said, I said, I'm really glad you're here, Patrick. He said, where are you sitting? And I said, well, up front with the pastor. He said, okay, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you up front. And he sat in the front row, and he worshiped the Lord with eyes closed and hands raised. And I've heard from him. We've become kind of pen pals now, kept in touch with him. He is completely detoxed. He is walking in greater health than he's ever known before. That's the heart of Father. And that is the kind of thing that God wants to do. He wants to do those things. This is a man who was known in this little town as the town drunk. And my vision for him is that he would now be known as the miracle guy who God touched. That banner that was written over him will be erased, and the banner of truth of who he is in Christ will remain. And that's my heart for everyone who's carrying a deep wound like that. in my own life over the last 2 years, God's been pulling back the pieces of my soul. He gave me an illustration that fit Patrick, has fit me, and may fit some of you. When Mason was a little guy, he loved to play marbles. And I never knew exactly how to play marbles, but we would invent little games. And we hit a string that we'd put on the ground, and he had marbles, and he had the big guys that were the shooters, I guess they were called, as I was ignorant of it and am still. And he loved to stand up as tall as he can and just drop this big marble into the circle of marbles, and they'd go everywhere. And the Lord said, that's what our souls are like when traumatic things happen. It's like that big marble falling. Some of us get chipped. Some of us get cracked. Some of us hide under the couch. But that trauma, wherever it came from, it doesn't have to be the same kind of trauma that Patrick had. But whatever's happened to us, God is in the business right now of calling back the pieces of our lives. And that was part of the message that I brought to Wales. And it's the message that's been burning in my heart. Whatever your story is, whatever trauma you've experienced, whatever pain has caused pieces of you to hide under the couch or be broken, God is calling them all back. And the other thing I spoke about in Wales, and I've spoken about at Shepherd's Heart, and it's still heavy on my heart, change is coming. Not just the move of God. We had presbytery recently, and they spoke about Shepherd's Heart being this wall, and that bricks were being taken out and put other places and replaced by other bricks. Who here loves change? None of us. But God is doing a new thing. He's rearranging some things. And just like you talked, we talked and sang about today, don't be afraid of that. It looks a little scary. It doesn't necessarily make sense to you, but God is moving some things around. And He's changing the way things, I think he's going to change the way church looks because he's doing a new thing. You know, we've done things a certain way and the world has not been impressed with it. If they were, we'd all have more people in our bodies. But God's changing, not to compromise the message, not to dumb down the gospel at all, but there's a change coming, and he wants to know, are we willing? And part of the process of calling back the pieces of our soul is so that we will be whole when he brings in those who are not. And we have the words to speak, like to Patrick and other people like that. God can do anything. He is a healer and a deliverer and a savior, and he wants to pull back the pieces of our soul so that we can do the same for others as God brings them into us. Amen.
I'd like, Lisa, I'd like you to stay for just a moment. I'd like to, before Lisa goes, I'd like us to apply that message to ourselves. Before she sits down, I'd like us to put before the Lord areas of damage and brokenness, deceptions that we have just put into place way back, who knows when. I particularly want to nail the things that we've just accepted. That's the way I am. So that's the way I am. So what? And I'd like this morning for us to give God permission to take that's the way I am stuff that is not of him. I'd like him to reach down and remove some of those things And I'd like you to, you have to participate, you know. I mean, he could sovereignly just splat and everybody be perfect. He has chosen not to do it that way. There will come a day when splat and everybody be perfect, but right now, in this hour of time, his choice, listen, his choice is that we participate with him in the process. We allow him to sort through and say, let me take that away. Let me remove that. And let's delete that one. And so before Lisa leaves, I'd like her to pray for us related to that kind of healing among us. And before she does her thing, I'd like you to say, okay, God, here's some areas that I know about. And before you're done, God, there's a few areas. The nature of deception is you don't even know that you're deceived. Just listen. Play attention. Deception is so deceptive that you don't know it's a problem. The light has to come on, and then the light of truth, the light of the gospel, the light of the Spirit of truth has to turn the light bulb on, and you say, oh my goodness, that's stupid. And deception now is exposed. So there are some areas that we know are stupid. And there are other areas that just, that's the way it is. What's your problem? It's not my problem, it's your problem. And I'd like us to ask God to deal with the areas we do know. And as the frosting on the cake, when he just reached down and pulled out a few items that we don't even know about, are you willing for him to make that selection? I'd like him to spend the rest of the day on me. You know, when she talked about Patrick that went into the bathroom, he made a mess in there. But in that mess, it doesn't count. The mess doesn't count for anything. Right. It's what God did in terms of removing stuff that counted. And when he walked out of there, it wasn't what he left behind in the John. It's what God had taken away, and he walked away a different man. Sorry. And he can do that for every one of us. You say, oh, well, I don't have any problems. I'll tell you one problem. You're deceived. That's a problem. If you think you've got it all together, you're in a bad state. You need help. You need a revelation from God. I'm serious about it. And I'm not just saying you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about Lisa. The perfection that we're seeking is yet to come. We haven't arrived. And the healing that he is offering today is real and vital. First of all, those items that you know about, you say, yeah, I'd like to get rid of that one, delete that. Put them before the Lord. And then just say, Lord, anything else that you can pull out, either show me or just take it away. You be the boss. You help yourself. We invite you, Lord, to push delete buttons for us and set us free. And Lisa, would you just pray for us in that regard?
The Lord has spoken to me about three things: rebirth, renewal, and restoration. Father, we thank you that you are the God of all of those things, of rebirth, of renewal, and of restoration. And Lord, we've experienced and we've seen and we've heard that there is nothing impossible for you, O God. And I thank you for this very moment in time, Lord, where you are shining the light of your Spirit on things in our lives that you know need to go, and also those things that you know need to be put back in place. And so, Father, we pray for rebirth, O God. Not just being born again, but, Lord, that you would cause new life and rebirth to come to those dreams, those visions, those hopes that we've put on the shelf because we didn't have faith that you could do it in us, O God. Those things that you've placed on us, that we've put on the shelf, Lord, we pray for a rebirth of vision, a rebirth of destiny in your people, a rebirth, Lord God, of walking out those things that you've prepared from before the foundation of the earth. And Lord, we pray for renewal of our minds. Lord, we've been praying and speaking and singing about our minds today and the deception that can take place. And we've deleted some things. But Father, we pray that our minds would be renewed to know the truth in a way that they never have. Lord, that you would reset, that you would recalibrate, that you would bring truth to our minds, O God, that day by day we would believe who you are, who you've said we are, the things you want to do. Lord, that our minds, we would have the mind of Christ to believe the things that you speak to us, O God. And Father, we pray for restoration. Those things that trauma has broken in our lives, O God. Those places we've been chipped and cracked, we pray, O God, you'd bring healing and wholeness. Those places we've hidden in fear of pain, O God, that you'd reach in and bring us into the light. Father, that you would show us your face in the midst of our pain. Father, the memories that have etched themselves on our minds, we pray, Father, that you would erase those things, O God, and that you would restore to us soundness. Lord, that you would restore our souls, and that you would do it in the presence of our enemies, that they would see that their day is over. Lord, that you have done a deep work in us that will last, that will not come and go, but that will remain forever. And Lord, right now, I call back the pieces of the souls in this place, O God, that the enemy has scattered. Every bit of it, we call it back now. We call into place wholeness and healing and deliverance, O God, right now in this place. Father, that you would do a deep work in each of us, that we would be the men and the women and the children that you've called us to be, that we'll be ready, O God, to offer the same rebirth and renewal and restoration to those wounded souls you bring to us, O God. We seal this by your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for meeting us here this day, May 20th, Lord, when you've touched us in the deep places of our souls. We thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lisa was finishing the prayer. She said, she asked the Lord to free us so that we could carry the life to free others. And go ahead, you can share those things. In a moment, you'll receive a sheet of paper that has the notes of the morning message on it. On the bottom of the sheet of paper, you'll find pieces of puzzle. There's, in case you can't see it, that's a piece of puzzle right there. And actually, on the bottom of your sheet, you'll have three pieces of puzzle. And each of you will be getting a piece of puzzle. There's actually 500 pieces to this puzzle. And so it's kind of useless what you're getting. But if you've ever felt useless in terms of serving the Lord, it's about as useless as that piece of puzzle. Except that the Lord knows where each piece is to go, and he knows what the picture is. I suppose that even if we took all 500 pieces and put them on a table and we sat down and said, okay, let's put it together, we'd have a hard time putting it together without a picture. And that is the case in spiritual things. Here's the picture of what you have. Isn't that a pretty picture? Lots of color. But your piece is almost useless without the picture. And besides, not only is it useless without the picture, you don't have the other pieces. But there is one who knows what the picture is, and he knows where the pieces go, and he has decided to give you a piece of the action. And your piece fits in the picture. Have you ever put together a puzzle and ended up with three pieces missing? Or one piece? I mean, it is frustrating. You put all that work into it, and you end up with a puzzle, or a picture, with three pieces missing. Might as well throw the whole thing away. It's frustrating. Well, I don't think God gets frustrated, but his desire is for each of us to put our piece in place at the appropriate time. And this morning we have been equipped in some small measure to participate with God. First of all, because we ourselves are in a better place to participate. And he has and is calling us to participate with him in putting pieces into place in our world. I have enough belief or faith in the sovereignty of God to just say that if Kathy fails to put her three pieces, she's got three pieces there, if she fails to put her three pieces into place, I have confidence in God that somehow he will take care of the three pieces, but Kathy will miss out on the blessing of God that would have been hers to participate with God to accomplish that. Now, I don't know how he'll fill in the gap, but I do believe he will step in and try to fix it. Before we go any further, I just want to back up for just a moment. I was impressed when Lisa said that she had been praying for Patrick for 2 years. I often set out to pray for people, and I forget to pray after a while. So I was impressed with that. I'd like us to, this morning, I don't want to cop out, but I just want to say, God, you're faithful. Here's the names of the people that I remember right now that I have thought I was going to pray for that I forgot. And I'd like you to make up for the difference. Would you fill in the gaps where I left out? I really want to participate with you in accomplishing your purposes. In Jesus' name. Here goes God. Here's the names. You're faithful. And you ever live to make intercession. And I just ask that you cover the base for me and draw me into what you're doing in the days ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I gave you the puzzle pieces to whet your appetite. The scriptures that I would like you to consider this morning are found in Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 3. They're all there right in front of you, and so you could go home now if you had promised to read them. What I hope to do is read these with a minimal amount of comment. That way we can get done before tomorrow morning. Hebrews chapter 2, and starting with verse 5. And if you promise to stay with it, I believe there's something here for us to see. Hebrews 2, 5, and this is a New Living Translation. It is not the angels who control the future world we are talking about. For in one place the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet you have made them
Who are we talking about? Mortals. He's talking about you, okay? Me, us. Minimal comment. You have made us, them, men and women, only a little lower than angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made. You got that? This is Bible, basic scripture. You crowned them with glory and honor. Father, you crown me with glory and honor. You dare say that? It can't be talking about me, but that's what he's talking about. I'm trying to not, I almost went to last week's message. If you really care about a question, you can ask me about last week's message, and I'll try to remember what I was going to say here, but I'm not going to say it, so we can hurry on. Now that I got your attention. You crowned us, you crowned me with glory and honor. You gave them, you gave us, you gave me charge over everything you made. You gave them, you gave us, you gave me authority over all things. Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their or our or my authority. I really want you to catch the drift of this. All things. God intends, has intended, and intends for his children to have authority over all things. And I don't think he's just meaning all things on planet Earth. I think he's meaning all things in the universe. That's significant. I'm trying to give you a picture of how God views you and what he wants to accomplish in and through you. He has given you authority over all things, yet we have not yet seen all things put under their or our or my authority. He's set it up, but it hasn't quite been totally revealed quite yet. What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels because he suffered death for us. He is now crowned with glory and honor. And yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. I want you to see what the transition is here. He has given that authority and that privilege to everyone. And while it is not yet seen, his son Jesus came and took a place among us, and he led the charge. He is going forward, and the glory and honor that is his is ours by virtue of our faith and relationship with him. That's the reality of what the Christian faith is all about. The Almighty God who established everything has chosen to place in charge of everything sons and daughters to carry the authority and the purposes of God into the universe. And you should say, hallelujah, let me on board. That's really it. That's what this is about. He has chosen to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them and us and me into our salvation. The salvation which incorporates the purposes of God concerning all of creation. Are you with me? This is not a Mickey Mouse operation. God has chosen to use us in the process of touching his entire creation. That's the picture. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. Verse 11. Now, Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. Why don't you just let that sink in? Let it sink in. Jesus and the ones he has made holy have the same Father. Keith Douglas, you have, was it seven children? Six children, seven children, almost eight. Eight children. I'm going to ask you. I'm not quite sure how to ask it, but the question is, are one or two or three or five or one or seven or eight, is one or two more your children than others? Or are they all your children? They are all identically and uniquely our children. And I want you to say, I think that, what is being tried to be said here is Jesus, whose Father is the Father in heaven, is your Father too. And in a very real way, it's yours. He is your Father. You have the right to go to your Father the way Jesus goes to his Father, because you have the same Father. That's what it's saying here. And I think it would be valuable for us to see ourselves as coming to the Father as Jesus comes to the Father. And that his response to us is the same as his response to his Son. And if it's hard for you to buy into that, I want you to know that every time you come to the Father in Jesus' name, that's how you come. He responds to those who come to him in Jesus' name the same as he responds to his Son, whose name is Jesus.
I think a key word in that verse, Dad, is now. He's not saying, he's not using it as an introductory, now I want you to understand something. He's saying now, right now.
So
at
now,
this
Jesus.
Moment, at this moment, Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. He talked about the fact that God has this purpose of bringing all things under our authority, and that we haven't seen that yet, but Jesus made us kids of God, and now we're that.
And now we're that. The second half of verse 11, that is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them and us and me his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. He also said, I will put my trust in him, that is in Father. That is, I and the children that God has given me. Skipping down to verse 16. We know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham, who is the father of the faithful and the faith-filled. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people, since he himself had gone through suffering and testing. He is able to help us when we are being tested. The instruction does not end there. Just because somebody put in a chapter change there means absolutely nothing. The chapter change from 2 to 3 means nothing. It helps us determine where we are in reading the book, but it doesn't mean anything. It didn't mean that he came to an end of a thought and is going to start a new thought. or change of topic. It means nothing. And so I just want to read right on as if there is no change, because, in fact, there is no change. And so, dear brothers and sisters, notice the "and so" or "therefore" would be another translation. It's saying, going on with this thought, "and so, dear brothers and sisters, who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest." I'm going to skip down now to 6. And you don't need to, but just for brevity, we'll get to 6. And it goes on, he says, "But Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ, that is, being faithful to the end. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There, your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they had seen my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them. So I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They shall never enter my rest." I'm not sure, but perhaps those are the saddest words in the New Testament. He had spoken to them. He had shown them. And I want to tell you, you know what their sin was? It wasn't about adultery. It wasn't about lying. It wasn't about stealing. It wasn't even, well, it wasn't about taking the Lord's name in vain, though it was about that. Do you know what it means to take the Lord's name in vain? If you say you're a child of God and act like the devil, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. It's simple. It hasn't so much to do with your tongue as it has to do with your behavior. And in fact, they took the Lord's name in vain in saying, "We're the people of God, but we can't go into the land of Canaan because there are giants in there and walled cities, and so we want to go back to Egypt." That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Far more ugly than anything we could do with our tongue. Yeah, they took the Lord's name in vain. Their problem wasn't a disobedience to the Ten Commandments. The problem was God said, "Go this way, and I will go with you, and I will deliver that land into your hands." And they refused to go. That was their sin. Unbelief resulting in disobedience. I wonder if anybody here has ever done that. Oh no, I never take the Lord's name in vain. I would cut my tongue out before I would say those words. It's not about saying those words. It really isn't. It really, really isn't. It's about saying, "I'm a child of God," and then living like the devil. That is taking the Lord's name in vain. That is what they did. And that is what stirred the anger of God. Are you with me? They heard. They had seen miracles, they had the promise, and then they said, "We can't do that," or simply, "We won't." And I want you to hear this, that this out of the New Testament, this is God speaking to his people in the New Testament setting, and he's taking the Old Testament example and saying, watch it. Don't do what they did. And now listen to what else he has to say. I'll start with verse 7. That is why the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they had seen my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them. So I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They shall never enter my place of rest. Verse 12 now. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning away from the living God. You must warn each other every day, as long as it's still today, so none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we shall share in all that belong to Christ. Remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. If you're interested in further reading, you should try Psalm 95 there. It just references the same thing, or Hebrews references Psalm 95 to a large degree. You say, well, what's that got to do with the three pieces of puzzle? Everything. There are assignments that God has given you, just like there were assignments given to the children of Israel. There are assignments that you might think, I don't know how this works. I don't see what good this is. And besides, George G3 doesn't do that. Why should I have to? I don't know why you should have to, other than the Father says, here's your assignment. Equally and uniquely, my child, my children.
Identically is the word used, which is completely related. Identically and unique, because it has both equally and identification in it.
Both equal and identically, children of God, children of Keith and Lisa. I really want you to see the value of this. Without the picture, your piece is useless. I suppose that some of you could take your piece and say, well, I know I've got an edge piece, so I'm going to stick that out on the edge. And maybe somebody else would come along and say, I know that I've got an edge piece the same color, so I know where it goes. And so we might be able to draw the edge pieces, and now we have the frame of the picture. But we're really going to have a hard time putting the rest together because we don't know what the picture is, but he does. And he desires to place your piece of the puzzle in place at the appropriate time, and only you can say, I will do it. I will participate. And that's what this morning's message is about. What are you going to do with your tomorrow? Would you dare to believe that you are carrying a piece of God's puzzle in the life of somebody in your world? I mean, is that possible? And is it possible that There is only one person that could put that peace in place, and that one person is you. Although my previous disclaimer, nevertheless, the one person that God has granted the peace to is you, and there is a opportunity for you to play your part and put that one piece into the puzzle so that in the eternal picture, it would be complete. And he has chosen you to put that piece in place. I gave you a piece of puzzle to remind you that today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You say, yeah, but I don't know what the picture is. No, you don't need to know. He knows. Yeah, but it might not work. Doesn't matter. He knows. What he's looking for is not perfection, but willingness. Are you willing?
Yeah, but it's hardening.
Say it again.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, but is hardening of the heart. There's no getting around it. When we say, yeah, but, I don't know the picture. I don't know. I'm afraid. I don't know this. I don't. Yeah, buts don't work. Don't carry them up. And the scriptures then tell us, listen, as long as it is today, speak to one another and say, don't harden your heart. Now, time is up and I got to run, but I want you to get this. Please get this. The hardening, listen, pay attention. The hardening of the heart in some people is, we could say, I'm concerned about pride. I love you, my brother, but I'm a little bit concerned about that. In every way, you're perfect in my book, but I just feel about this. Are you with me? I want you to. And the hardening of the heart is this. I don't know what you're talking about. Get off my case. Leave me alone! Okay? Okay? So within the body, there's the opportunity to encourage, correct, call. And beyond the body, there's opportunity to release a seed of life into the lives of those who have no knowledge. Today, as long as it is still called today, harden not your heart, as they did in the day of provocation. In all of this, I want to go back where we started, because it all goes together. When you go back to where we started, the plan of God has in it you participating in the rule of all creation, where nothing is left out of what he meant when he said all things. His plan for you and for me and for his children is far beyond our imagination. And time serves as a moment to practice for eternity. Time gives us moments to step out of darkness into his light. Time gives us a moment to, in agreement with him, release a piece of his puzzle into place. Time gives us a moment to paint the picture that the master is painting. And you get to choose whether or not you will participate in the thing that touches all creation. And so, Father, here we are this morning, and
in some degree, we have already done this. In some degree, we have already presented ourselves and said, Lord, erase the lies and the darkness that we have entertained. We have already said, fill us with light by your Spirit. And once again this morning, as we wrap this up, we say, by your grace and mercy and the power of your Spirit, enable us to carry the peace that has been assigned to us, carry it by the love and the mercy of God into the place where it needs to be put. By your Spirit, would you remind us again and again, as long as it is called today, may we be reminded not to harden our hearts, which is so easy to do. Rescue us and make us useful in the course of time in order that we might be useful throughout eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are more pieces of puzzle, if you want it. They're in the crown up there. And I would just suggest that you take a piece of the puzzle and tape it on your mirror. So when you get out of bed, bleary-eyed and bushy-tailed tomorrow morning, you'll see that piece of the puzzle on the mirror, and you say, what's that there for? And just maybe the Holy Spirit will remind you. There's an assignment for you today. One last thing. Really, I'm sorry, but this happened to me this week. I was listening to the radio, which I never do, which means I just lied because I was listening to the radio, which I never do, but I was listening to the radio. And this guy was singing a song. And the guy sang something about, give me a smaller vision. And I was shocked. Neither the world nor the church world ever looks for a smaller vision. I want to challenge you. I beg you. Ask God for a small vision. And then do it. I beg you. Don't go after the world. Go after the small thing that God would give you. A tiny little piece of puzzle. Take that tiny little piece and put it in place and forget about the big picture, because only God knows what the big picture is. All right, that's it. Go before I get started again. God bless you. Have a good week.